from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton, and we are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube with a very special guest. A lot of these excerpts are making national headlines, and the man who wrote the Aaron Rodgers book is Ian O'Connor, very famous longtime journalist, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good morning, guys. It's a pleasure, since I grew up in New Jersey worshiping the Dallas Cowboys and idolizing Roger Staubach, who's still my idol today, and I'm 60 years old. So it's a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, I got to ask you a really weird, random question to start off, and this is carrying over from our last segment. Do you flush every single time you use the toilet, or are there times like in the middle of the night, or if it's a number one, when you just let it be till the next time?
Every single time. Thank you. I am not that person that lets anything linger. So
thank you. Thank you. That's all I wanted to ask.
Every single time flusher. Okay.
Excellent. We got that out of the way. All right. Most important thing. All right. The book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. How did you get Roger? What type of relationship have you had with him? Obviously, you had some type in order to get him to cooperate. How did you get Aaron Rodgers to cooperate with this project?
Well, it wasn't full cooperation, and I did not know him, really. I covered some of his big games, including the game against Dallas in the playoffs when he threw that pass to Jared Cook that might be the best pass I've ever seen in the postseason, or one of the top two or three. But I didn't know him. And then he got traded into my backyard. I was actually scheduled to write a biography of LeBron James. And another book on LeBron came out. I thought there might be some fatigue there. So when Aaron got traded to the Jets, and I lived not too far from the Jets facility, I just thought, this is probably the most prominent American male athlete who has not had a defining biography written about him. He's obviously the most polarizing player in the NFL, and I wanted to find out why. So that's why I took on the project, but I had no relationship with him. And at the end, after months of requesting him through the Jets, through his agent, I even contacted Aaron directly through the regular mail, through email. And finally, in February, he agreed to a sit-down. I had already handed in the first draft of the manuscript in January. Listen, I would have loved to have sat down with him for 20 hours and counted that as full cooperation, but he did give me 2 hours of fact-checking at the end of the process, and he made it a better book.
So what's he like? I guess that's like – I know it's probably kind of a tough question to answer, but what's he like?
You know, in person, he's very engaging and thoughtful, and I've always thought from a distance that he was probably the best interview in the NFL. He gives you long-form answers, and my understanding in talking to some of the media who covered him on a regular basis in Green Bay is he was approachable. And during the week, a lot of quarterbacks hide unless it's Wednesday, their chosen day to speak during the week. You can't find them in the locker room when the media is allowed in there. But if you had a big picture feature or piece you were working on, you could approach him and he would engage. And so here in New York, he's been – now, listen, a lot of people don't agree with some of the things he has said and some of the positions he holds on vaccines and conspiracy theories and the like, but he's fearless as a public speaker. That is usually a commendable trait, and I do actually appreciate that about him because most people are not. And I found in asking him questions when we sat down at his home in Malibu that he was pretty fearless in answering them, and I definitely appreciated that.
How do you think he's misunderstood?
I think that people forget he was considered one of the good guys until COVID. Until he said those words in August of 2021, I've been immunized, which obviously wasn't true. And then it was later found out in November of that year that he was unvaccinated and tested positive. He was considered one of the more socially aware athletes in the NFL. He backed Colin Kaepernick's position. He had supported a charitable cause for victims of the war in the Congo. I wonder how many athletes have ever done that in this country. He rebuked a fan who shouted out an anti-Muslim slur during the national anthem once. President Obama wrote him a letter of thanks. And so that was sort of the way he was looked at. And then all of a sudden, he effectively lied about his vaccine status, and he became a villain. He became the ultimate villain in the NFL. And so it's interesting to see the transformation. Now the public image and perception of him is entirely different. And yet I have to say, he is not backed off at all in terms of being willing to speak his truth in the public arena, even though he's lost endorsements and money for having those positions. And so we'll see how this plays out in New York. I do think if he somehow, I don't think this is going to happen, but if he ever wins a Super Bowl for the Jets, I do think that victory on the field often wipes away some mistakes and unforced errors off the field, and we'll see if he could pull that off.
The book is from Ian O'Connor. Aaron Rodgers is the subject, and he's joining us on the Home of the Cowboys. So when I was looking over the preview and the notes, and I saw Mike McCarthy, my eyes popped out of my head. What did Aaron Rodgers have to say about his former head coach?
Obviously, a lot's been said and written about their relationship. At the end of the day, and listen, they butted heads a lot. Mike McCarthy told me that, and he admitted that. Two very intense competitors. And he did give Aaron a lot of freedom, ultimately, at the line of scrimmage. And Aaron acknowledged that, and he said, listen, we had our differences, but we won a Super Bowl together, and we lit it up offensively for a lot of years. And you can't take that away from Mike McCarthy. And Matt LaFleur, although he had a shorter period of time to work with Rodgers, did not win a Super Bowl with him. And so I think that he was upset at times with the play calling. And Aaron would at times during the week suggest, hey, this is going to work. I really believe in this. I believe in that. And then those plays would not be called to his satisfaction during the game. He would change things a lot at the line of scrimmage and frustrate McCarthy. I'll give you one example. In probably his most devastating postseason defeat was the NFC Championship game against Seattle, the 2014 season. All they had to do was recover an onside kick, and Rodgers is back in the Super Bowl that year. They couldn't do it, but that year, he saw Dallas during the regular season and Tony Romo have a lot of success against that Seattle defense. And there were about a half dozen plays that Romo seemed to run to perfection against the Seahawks. And he told McCarthy, I want these plays run and run a lot. And McCarthy called a handful of those plays only one time each, and Rodgers was really upset about that. So that's just one snapshot of the way that relationship unfolded over time. But I think looking back, Rodgers has a greater appreciation for McCarthy now than he did then, if for no other reason than they won the Super Bowl together and he hasn't won one since.
Since you are a self-proclaimed Cowboys diehard lifelong fan and you have covered sports in this league for a long time and you have even more McCarthy info, how do you personally feel about him as the Cowboys coach?
I think Mike McCarthy McCarthy is a better than average coach. He was nice enough to take my phone call during the interview process. He, again, you can't take away the Super Bowl title. He did win that, and I think people have forgotten that to some extent. And I grew up with Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson. I wouldn't put him in that category, certainly, but this is obviously a huge year for him. The whole NFC East, the three coaches would be McCarthy, Sirianni, and Dable. Bill Belichick, the specter of Belichick, hangs over those three coaches this year. And so the Cowboys, it's time for them to get back in the Super Bowl and win it. It's been a long time. They're America's team for a reason. And I think it would be great for the sport if that happens. I don't know if I see it this year. I would love to see it again and sort of have those same childhood feelings I had in watching the Staubach Cowboys do that on a fairly regular basis. But would I put my money on it? No. But I do think when you look, the Cowboys always have talent. They always have players. Their player personnel people always find athletes and ballers, and they have that again. So it's possible, yeah, I wouldn't bet on it. I'd love to see it as an old Cowboys fan.
Talking with Ian O'Connor, author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, out on August 20th. So, Ian, you mentioned there that Aaron looks back more fondly on his time with Mike McCarthy now that he's away from it a little bit. Did you get a similar sense when you talked to McCarthy? Does McCarthy look back on that a little more fondly? Because that was obviously a very ugly split, it felt like, for both of them.
Yeah, I think so. And he's always appreciated Rodgers. I think maybe one aspect of McCarthy's role in Rodgers' career is he developed him. I mean, when Aaron came out of Cal, he held the ball up near his ear and looked very robotic. And that's one of the reasons why he dropped. He was supposed to go number one. All of a sudden, he falls to 24. And a lot of that was built around. And listen, McCarthy graded him as the offensive coordinator with the 49ers holding the first pick. And he didn't love Rodgers. He says now he did. But back then, I talked to Mike Nolan, the head coach at the time. He said McCarthy did not love Rodgers coming out as much as he loved Alex Smith. But he did develop him as a player and an athlete in Green Bay, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that. People forget the way Rodgers looked coming out of Cal, and McCarthy got him to lower that ball position and used his athleticism. And, yeah, he deserves a lot of credit for Rodgers, and I just think it's short memories and people forgetting that there were concerns about Aaron when he came out of Berkeley that his game might not translate at a high level in the NFL. There are people talking about him as more of a not a game manager, but certainly not a franchise player. And now he goes down, I think, as one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. And if he can add one more Super Bowl, sort of like the way John Elway and Peyton Manning did at the end of their careers, they got ring number two, or Elway got both of them at the end of his career. If Rodgers can do that, that would mean a ton to his legacy.
Ian, we've heard a lot over the years about the estrangement between him and his family. What did you find out about that? Was there more to it? What was the cause? Everything.
Yeah, everybody thinks that there's one reason or one development that caused it. And there are really 17 or 18 different things. And there's a lot of he said in it. And the parents and even one of his brothers put a lot of the blame at the feet of Olivia Munn, the actress that he was dating at the time of the estrangement in late in 2014 when it began. And I think that's losing sight of the fact that he hasn't dated her in 7 years, and the estrangement goes on. And so there was some feeling on Aaron's side that the family was living too much off his success. The family denies that. I did spend time with his parents, and they certainly struck me as very nice people, and I don't want to cast any aspersions on them. I think the initial rebellion against religion, he grew up in a very devoutly religious home, and I think that was a part of it early on, not so much right now. His brother, Jordan, being on The Bachelorette and using the family estrangement at the time as part of that narrative, that irritated Aaron. And there are a lot of things like that where you look at it and you say, this estrangement should have ended 5, 6, 7 years ago. The fact that it's gone on nearly 10 years, and I almost feel like it's a living organism right now, and Aaron doesn't know how to kill it off. And it's almost easier to just let it live. But he did have an emotional moment with his father last summer at the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament where they saw each other on the course. They hugged. They said they loved each other. And it might have lasted 15 seconds, But that was a meaningful moment. They hadn't seen each other in 9 years. So I think that hug and that expression of love, hopefully it was the first baby step towards reconciliation.
You also wrote a book on Belichick. How shocked are you that he's unemployed? Would he have interest in this job? And do you think it could work here in Dallas?
Yes, I'm shocked. I couldn't believe he went through a hiring cycle and he's the greatest NFL coach ever, arguably, and he didn't get one of those jobs. Yeah, I was shocked. And I think he obviously likes Jerry Jones. And I talked to Bill Parcells about this years ago. The problem is going to be if he takes that job. After games, as you guys know, Jerry holds a press conference right outside the locker room. I've waited there a number of times for him in that scrum, and the head coach is down the hall in that auditorium, that press conference room. And if Belichick is saying X and Jerry is saying Y at the same time, and then Belichick's got to confront what Jerry said the next day, it's going to be a problem. That's the only thing. Other than that, I think he does like Jerry Jones a lot, and I think America's team, who wouldn't want to coach the Dallas Cowboys? So I just think if they could work out that detail, and I'm not sure Jerry Jones would go for it, where, hey, maybe you don't hold a press conference after every game while I'm talking down the hallway. Can you agree to that? I don't know what Jones would say to that.
He would say no.
But okay, I really think that's a problem. If you could take that away, that it would be a great situation for Bill Belichick. And again, name a football coach in America at any level who wouldn't want to coach the Dallas Cowboys. So I would just say if they could somehow work that out, I think it would be a good marriage.
Ian, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on another successful book, and we'll catch up with you moving forward. Enjoy the year.
You too, and it was my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Ian O'Connor, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, here on 105.3 The Fan with Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. RJ Choppy does not want to give up on the Olympics yet.
No.
He promises this is the final, with a preview of Los Angeles and what we care about pro football in the Olympics 4 years from now. That's next, along with Brian Broaddus from Oxnard on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Oh, we love an intro.
From track to hoops, Ledecky to Simone. It's time to hear how the Olympic Games are going. We won't talk box until the gender thing is settled. RJ Choppy puts his pedal to the metal.
Final? Maybe? Pedal to the metal? We'll see. Stories keep coming out left and right. I've got an interesting scenario I want to hit you all with. But let's start out with Team USA in basketball, real quick. They hid.
By the way, real quick, mm-hmm. I just saw this. I think Tolo D, the great D, tweeted me Carmelo saying he would take a gold medal over an NBA championship, and man, could he not be more incorrect.
It's because it's what he has. It's
what he has.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a, yeah, I'm happy with my career. What are you talking about?
Now, Joker would do that.
Yes. Man, did you see the crowd?
Yes.
Yes. For the bronze celebration in Serbia. It was insanity.
It's crazy. Their celebration on the bus is phenomenal. Yeah. And it just, you know, we're just.
If I was Melo, it's not even a question. NBA title over gold medal.
Right.
Not even close.
Because you're too favored to win the gold medal.
Yeah.
Now, if we were an underdog, all right. I wonder, would an American born hockey player choose the Olympic gold medal over a Stanley Cup?
Right.
I will say, was Carmelo was on the Redeem team, right?
I have no idea.
I think he was. So
I stopped paying attention really after the Dream Team.
But that, coming into 08, there was a y'all are a bunch of losers kind of sentiment. Yeah. So there was a little bit of a redemption aspect there. By
Don't
the way, LeBron,
care. Carmelo Anthony goes from all-time gets buckets guy to not legend, but man, his stock takes a humongous leap with a title.
LeBron, by the way, said this team is the Avengers, which is stupid.
They're avenging the last 4 in a row that they won. Tyrese Halliburton had a minor leg injury. The team did not announce it during the games, but he had an MRI, was caught in a numbers game, but still has a future in the program. So I found that interesting. Do you think that this is...
Get off Steve Kerr's back!
Yeah, do you think this is are we buying this? This is why, are they saving face as to why they didn't play him very much?
What do you have to save face for? He's completely happy and content. He hasn't whined about it like Jason Tatum. So, that tells me he probably had something going on with him because he seems complete. They're not making these excuses for Tatum.
Little different status. Little different argument. No one cares about Tyrese Halliburton. Jason
Better
Tatum
player, sure.
Did just win the title, and he is a star.
One more, Team USA basketball. France's McDonald's are considering removing curry sauce for the next 4 years after Steph put up 24 in the gold medal victory over France.
Now, before you ask curry at McDonald's, this is Peyton Russell letting us know that the international McDonald's have a different menu, right?
Oh my goodness, the one in Florence was crazy. I mean, they had wings there. They had it was Parmesan cheese that was just a stick Parmesan cheese. I mean, it was empanadas. It was everything you could imagine there. It was a restaurant, basically.
I like it. So they're getting curry off the menu.
They're considering getting curry off the menu. I get behind this, right? You could always repackage it to something else. Call it something else. Call it, spicy this or whatever. South Asian sauce.
Yeah, I mean, I'd look for any way to stop curry, too. And that's what they've done.
Ooh, absolutely. Okay. New events coming to the Olympic Winter Games. This is for the 2028 Olympics. By the way, boxing, which we're not talking boxing because the gender thing isn't settled. That's what the intro says. But there is no boxing on the docket for 2028 as we stand right now. The IOC has told them, you need to find a new governing body.
Oh.
Or you're not in.
Bunch of body controversies there with boxing.
And so right as of this year, they're going to decide this next year. But as of right now, boxing is not on the list of 2028 games. Mm. It's been in every Olympic since 1904.
Is this related, do you think, at all to Jake Paul saying he was going to box in the 2028 Olympics? And they're like, oh, hell no, dude.
Maybe. Yeah, I doubt it, but who knows? Here we go. These are the new sports that will be in the Olympics in 2028. Baseball. Okay, boy, we're going to stack the deck to
pitch
win.
Clock?
I don't know if there's pitch clock or not.
So, like, WBC teams?
Yeah, I would think so. Now, I don't know if Major League Baseball, I've not seen, is Major League Baseball going to just pause their schedule?
Dave Roberts talked about this a couple days ago. Dave Roberts is like, there are a lot of players who are, like, would like to work something out with the PA to where they could do this, that they want to.
The pause.
That they want to find a way to be able to go play there somehow. Like, whether it's either, like, give us some time off or pause the season or something.
Yeah, let's just make the baseball season even longer.
Yeah, just go further to football.
December.
Right? Just go to December.
World Series at Lambeau.
You know, obviously, you're in L.A.
Which people are freaking out, by the way, about Cleveland possibly indoor football.
Right, so Cleveland's going to have, you know, potentially have an indoor football team, a stadium, which means a Super Bowl. They would get a Super Bowl. Minnesota got one. Like, they would absolutely get one.
All factories.
But Cleveland?
Yeah.
And then tell that to a Tad Carper, yeah. Cowboys PR.
Yeah,
Bobby said that, Tad.
That's the Joe Kim Noah line. It's all factories.
It's all factories. obviously, they have two major stadiums right there in L.A. they could play in. Dodgers and the Angel Stadium.
They're going to play in Oklahoma City.
For softball.
For baseball, too, I believe.
I would, no.
Then this NBC article is wrong.
Oklahoma City?
That's what it said here.
So I know they're playing softball in Oklahoma City. I have not seen the baseball
for the 2028 Olympics?
Yes. They're going to play softball.
I understand, like, not having the surf waves there in Paris. Right. And they, like, did it somewhere
Tahiti,
else.
Tahiti, 10,000 miles away.
We don't have any
softball fields in L.A.? UCLA hasn't been playing softball since, like, the dawn of ages.
What?
Yeah. UCLA is in L.A.
It is. That's what Deshaun Foster said. So baseball and softball are one of the games. Flag football.
I went on NBC5 to discuss this.
Yes.
I had to look up like 5 minutes before going on. I'm like, what's this football that you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
And then I saw Jalen Hurts throw the football and light the torch. And I was like, I went on NBC and I had to get my cowboy love in. And I was like, already I'm dismissing it because Jalen Hurts could not make that throw.
So flag football is another thing we're stacking the deck on. We're just going to keep we're just ensuring ourselves more gold medals.
Yeah, we're not going to tie China.
No. Lacrosse. Lacrosse.
By the way, we're going to freak out. We didn't talk about the injuries. Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb want to play Olympic football. We're going to freak out like we did with wanting to see Luka eliminated by Giannis and Greece.
Man,
I'm not wanting them to play. I think it'd be cool to see. I'm not wanting to see it.
I don't know. There's sometimes when I see the things Micah says and I wonder, like, do you want to get paid? Because his most recent tweet is, after 2027, I'm going to take a break from football to prepare for the Olympics. So it's not just he's wanting to play. It's like, no, I'm taking a year off.
Bobsled,
baby. I'm focusing on this.
Bobsled.
Don't you think you're taking that a little serious, Bobby?
Not with that guy. Like, he is that is the kind of stuff he's going over and getting punched in the gut by sumo wrestlers and stuff. This is what he does.
Pedal to the metal with RJ Choppy. Maybe, possibly, probably not the final
Who
one.
Who knows?
Ever.
We'll never know. We'll find out tomorrow. So lacrosse is another one. Cricket. I don't think we're going to win cricket. I'm just throwing that out there.
No.
I mean, didn't we just beat somebody in Grand Prairie a couple months ago? It was like a big deal.
Yeah, they have a cricket contest in Roanoke every now and then, like at the outside the church. That's right there on the road I live on. But like, this is cricket. I don't see us winning. Squash. It's another one.
Had to look that up. I did not know what that was.
Squash, like, what is it?
All right. It's like, I guess I would describe it as like badminton.
Yeah.
But with like a harder ball.
Is that okay?
It looks like the thing where you're in that room and you've got the half court where you're hitting the ball off the wall. That's what it is.
Like racquetball?
When I looked it up, that's what it, like, the pictures look like.
Because like the rackets look more badminton-y than racquetball-y. But maybe it is more racquetball.
It could be
fun. So those are the new ones coming to the Olympics. The mayor of LA has said, like, we're gonna tell people in 2028, because like Bobby had said, nobody can drive there, it's all buses. They are telling people to work from home for those 2 weeks.
Oh,
because if everybody goes to work, will not be able to get around LA. They are gonna tell people to work from home.
Does this have any impact on us if we're in Oxnard in 2028?
Yeah.
Like flying into LAX and everything else?
A massive impact. May have to fly to Santa Barbara. I don't know.
Or maybe go on a Friday.
Or maybe go on a different day. Absolutely.
Friday or Saturday. Uh-huh. Well, preferably Friday.
I got this scenario Thursday. To throw by you. So this happened in the speed climbing. And we didn't get to talk about this, but... So, in the way the speed climbing...
By the way, I saw local... Is this the rock climbing speed?
Yeah.
All right, I saw a local kid won this. Someone from Texas won this.
Okay.
Going up this damn thing like Spider-Man.
Flying up there, right? So, it's a 1v1. And then, you know, if you win, you move on, right? So, this one guy lost the semifinals. They go to the gold medal match. The guy goes up, wins the gold. The winner wins the gold. The loser takes the silver. And then they have a bronze medal match. Well, the bronze medal match, the guy who won the bronze... set the world record. So he had the fastest time of anybody in the event, sets the world record, but only wins the bronze because he did it in the bronze medal match. So, would you rather win the gold in the event or set the world record in the same event on the same day?
Would you rather be Josh Hamilton or Justin Morneau, basically?
Oh, is this a home run derby thing?
Where he
hit
his 30 home runs in the first round, but then he loses.
Wow, this is a great question.
So,
I kind of want people to walk into my house and see the gold medal.
Yeah. Because I don't know what you get for a world record. By the way, Shannon Sharp, you owe him 50 grand.
Yeah, are they paying out?
They said? They said they were. I haven't heard that they have, but people are saying that Shannon owes this guy 50,000 because he says, I'll give you 50,000 for a world record.
So, I think I'm taking the gold just because then I have to tell everyone I have the world record. I want the gold just to speak for itself.
You want to walk into the bar with the gold medal around your neck.
Yeah.
That's the gold medal.
Because that gold, the world record could fall at any time.
Yes.
That gold never falls.
True.
That gold's yours forever.
Pedal to the medal here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Let's get this clip in from Tyreek Hill. He was asked about Noah Lyles. Saying the Super Bowl champ doesn't equal the world champ with Up and Adams.
Sprinter Noah Lyles, he said that Super Bowl champs should not consider themselves world champions. What do you think of that?
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to come out and pretend like he's sick. I feel like that's like horseradish. So for him to like do that and say that we're not world champions of like our sport, says come on, bro, like, just speak on what you know about, you know what I'm saying? And that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Like, by a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask. Oh, God. And let him know I mean business, because I do mean business.
Hey, Tyreek doesn't usually talk that openly about beating people.
Now, like, am I wrong? Like, especially what happened to Noah? Are we treating Noah Lyles like he had a bad Olympics? The guy won the bronze and then collapsed. He literally won the 100 meter. He is the fastest man on the planet for the next 4 years.
By the way, did you see the internet rumor that Kay Adams was dating?
Oh, wait, I saw this. Hang
Shams?
On. No.
NFL quarterback.
Was it Will Levis?
Nope.
Ooh. NFC.
Oh. Daniel Jones. No way. I refuse to believe somebody who walks in looking like wearing a backpack with a Jerry Springer level a shirt on is going there.
Corey Major's heart officially shattered. It's Sean and RJ here with a Tolo Tuesday edition out to Oxnard with the great Brian Broaddus. Does he flush every single time? Broaddus joins us next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Brian Broaddus, a flusher or not?
And by the way, I mean, Divine Intervention is hitting this show on a Tolo Tuesday. The left urinal is totally filled with pee.
Gross.
To the very top and brim.
Oh, really?
As if the urinal was listening to Broaddus' favorite segment, Ask Reddit, at 7:40.
Man.
It's at the very top, just sitting there. So all of you disgusting human beings who don't flush every single time, you should be happy.
There's a problem in that bathroom. That far toilet by the wall is not flushing well. It's got a gurgle flush. It's not flushing very well, and I wonder if that's, you know, affecting all the subsequent toilets there.
Brian Broaddus, you're a big Ask Reddit fan. That's your favorite segment on the show.
It is.
This wasn't even an Ask Reddit question. It came from one of Peyton's answers.
Don't be animals. Flush the damn
Thank you. Yeah. But at home, Broaddus.
Absolutely. Every single time.
Yes.
Yes. I don't need to walk up on your urine or your poo. I don't need to walk up on that. You know, and I walk up in our bathroom upstairs is disgusting. It's time for our station to move. If the bathrooms can't be better up there, we need to pick up our whole station and move that thing.
And maybe we'll just do that. Yeah, you know, you never know.
The fact that we have to go into the ladies' room tells you all you need to know.
That's
about
not allowed.
That's just 2024, Brian.
Well, you know what? When emergencies call, emergencies call. You know?
What is your other floor in the building that you will use?
Oh, I don't use the restroom at all up there.
Oh,
it's disgusting. I know. I mean, no, you walk in there and I walked in there before and turned around and walked out just because you look at the floor around the urinal.
Yo,
it's like you dudes are all looking at your phone peeing on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, we
is
are
what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then Choppy's doing, you know, no telling, he's talking, he's splashing around all over the place, you know. Woolchuck, he can't get it out, so he's peeing all over the place too. So yeah, you know, we're a bunch of disgusting brothers is what we are. Yeah, we really are.
Well said.
All right, Brian. Speaking of disgusting, I know you got a chance to watch Trey Lance's tape. You've gotten a chance to go back look at the actual tape. We always have the initial reaction, what we've seen from the game, from the TV copy,
right?
And then you get a chance to go back, watch the tape, see things a little bit more clearly. Trey Lance, better, worse, or about the same as what you had seen live on Sunday?
Gotten better at practices since you guys departed. In the game the other day, missed some opportunities where his accuracy wasn't very good. He made his receivers have to work several times to get the football. I think there were a couple of different times where they set him up to maybe make a throw that would have likely put points on the board. They had a wheel route that they ran with Princeton Fant that I felt like that McCarthy called it with knowing that with how the Rams were going to play it down in that section of the field. And he threw the ball back to his left where, you know, it was probably a harder throw. But there were some throws that he could have made in that game that could have ended up as scoring plays for this football team. He just missed them.
I know you felt like Mozzie Smith had been overly criticized when you got the chance to watch the first time. Getting into the tape, watching the tape a little bit, improvement, looking a little more solid. I know it looked like that
playing
third drive, he was winded.
Yeah, playing with his hands. It's unfortunate that the screenplay that he made, he plays off the block of Linder, the center, and does a really nice job of extending his hands, which is something that they coach him all the time. It's hands, Mozzie, not outside, inside, Mozzie, inside hands, Mozzie. And so his hands were much better. His extension was much better. He controls the center, and then he reads the screen, and he gets over and makes the play. And then the very next play, he does absolutely nothing. It's like he took a play off. It's like, oh, well, hey, I made a play, so now I get to take a play off. And what they need him to be is the player that played the screen. They need him to be the player that fires his hands inside and controls the blocker and plays square. And those are the things that I think that, you know, that Mozzie's capable of doing. We talk about him every day in a way of there are flashes of plays that he makes. And, you know, I've always been taught a flash player is not a great player.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's the problem. And they need more consistency from him. He's capable of making plays. He's capable of learning. But there's times where he does get winded. And it might be a little bit of his conditioning that is a problem. The shoulder, the rehab, all those things. Maybe he didn't get to work. But we've been through now 2 weeks of camp.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys that are in good condition right now and are playing a lot of snaps and practicing a long time. And not looking, you know, not taking plays off. And that's the unfortunate thing with Mozzie. Every time you see the two or three really good things, there's probably another one or two other things where you're going, man, if he could just find a way not to play this way, he'll be a much better player.
You kind of answered it, but I was going to ask, you know, how often does that, like, light stay on? Because I saw some of that in Oxnard where I'm like, did he just give up right there? Is he half a...
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, it really is. It's unfortunate because he made a really good play of controlling the center and getting over on the screen. And you're like, you know, you're saying that now that's what you need your one technique to do, to extend, play with power, throw that blocker aside, and then get over and make a play. And then the very next play, I could clip it for you guys and show it to you, where he acts like that, okay, made a tackle. Now I get to take a little break. No, I mean, hey, you're still fighting to, you know, to get off the field. And, you know, when he plays those four or five plays in a row, you know, he needs to be good on three or four of those plays. He just can't be one good play and then take three plays off. That's just not going to be good enough for this football team.
Brian Broaddus joining us here on 105.3 The Fan, Duren Bielo, The Belt. Assuming CD returns, so we put the wide receiver core, the unit as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Grade the unit with CD.
With CD, okay, what you look at, Cooks has shown that he is more than capable of playing football for you at a very high level. These practices, he runs all day, he catches everything. The big plays that they do make in practice, he seems to make. Tolbert is completely developing Tolbert is looking like he did at South Alabama when Bobby and I were really scouting him up. You know, I know the Cowboys thought very highly of him. I would say as a group, though, when you go, I think their last receiver, if I had to say their last guy, it's going to be between Cropper and Flournoy. And I think Cropper's practiced a little bit longer than Flournoy has, but Cropper finds a way to make plays too. I'm going to give the group a B for overall. And that's even with Lamb playing as a group. I think they've got some capable guys behind him. I think that Cooks is going to help you. I think Tolbert's going to help you. Now we'll see how the others kind of mix in. A lot of it has to do with maybe the grade raises if you have Turpin. What's Turpin going to do? Is he going to be kind of the gadget player? Are you going to use him, in the backfield? What are the things that you can do with him? But right now, I would say they're probably a solid B.
How late can this go with Lamb till you would be worried about him being able to perform and play against Cleveland? And how do you feel about it overall with him missing camp and how much of a factor it is, like Martin last year?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you think he's going to miss $1 million a week?
No.
Okay. So that probably answers your question right there, that he's not going to miss game checks. I don't believe he's going to miss game checks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he does work with Dak in the Dak yard. There is a rapport between the two. You would worry about a potential injury as far as not practicing football.
Yeah.
That would be your concern right there. CeeDee Lamb does work extremely hard. Like I said, I don't worry about him. And matter of fact, I do believe that if he's a guy that gets a contract extension, that he'll actually live up to it. I think that he'll be one of these guys. He's gotten better every single year that he's played football in the National Football League. So I don't worry so much about, I mean, the quarterback's looking good. These other receivers are getting opportunities. I think that CD, once that he signs that contract, I think that they'll find he'll fit in right very easily, and I think they'll get back to where they were, after last season.
Sir Brian Broaddus joining us here during Below the Belt. Brian, you talked about how they consistently say hands with Mozzie, like,
yeah,
hey, be a, you know, hand usage, and that's something that, when you talk to coaches and scouts across the league, they'll say that's one area where a lot of times defensive linemen are deficient when they first come out, that mm-hmm. they don't know how to use their hands a lot of times. With that in mind, how impressed were you with what you saw on tape from Marshawn Nyland, and how it seems like he's pretty advanced in terms of how to use his hands and ready to play NFL snaps right away?
Yeah, and you know, when you watch Nyland play, you're right. There's power in the way that he plays. There's way he uses his hands, the way that he extends. His pass rush stuff has got to get better. It has got to get better. And, you know, and there's been, and for the most part, when he came out of, you know, Western Michigan, that was the biggest question mark. There were times in that game the other day where he got caught up running down the middle of a blocker. And, you know, when you talk about hand use leads to, okay, how do you disengage, and then how do you get up as a pass rusher? And I felt like there was a couple of different times where you did see the disengage. Ball was out quick. You know, that's good. Got to bend that corner a little bit better. Got to play with a little bit better power on the edge. And there were a couple times, again, where we talk about getting tired, getting wore down. You rush down the middle. It's kind of a give-up rush. And, you know, he needs to be a little bit more consistent with that. But the way he gets off the football, the way he plays with power, the way that he can slide down there and play in the run, you know, and squeeze the hole, I think that those are all things that the Cowboys will be really, really excited about. They actually got, I'll tell you what, Golston playing at edge looked pretty good, and he's been playing a lot of defensive tackles. And I'll even mention Fehoko playing on the edge looked better than what he's played at defensive tackle. They've got to kind of figure out, though, the backup and the rotation on that on the edge, and how is that going to work? Are they going to go find somebody to play inside? That's what I think they went out and got this Huggins for, you know, and he didn't play very well. That felt like that they were going to use him as the three technique, and then that would allow them to use Fehoko and potentially Golston as an edge. But they're kind of trying to hunt that right now. And matter of fact, like I said, those two guys, Golston and Fehoko, look better playing edge than they had been playing defensive tackle.
You're the best, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Brian brought us every morning with a better segment than we previously had, and a full-time member of the G-Bag Nation, and co-host of the Love the Star podcast from Oxnard, California, on the D&M Leasing Hotline. RJ Choppy with an edition of Diamond Cavs. Are the Rangers already shopping for injured guys next year? Final hour, Tolo Tuesday edition. Coming up right here on Sean and RJ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.